As you're aware, today we are going to be reading Psalm 119 in its entirety. And so I'm going to take a few moments now to just introduce you to the psalm and spend some time thinking about why it's important for us to read this and how can we make sense of what we are reading. As you're probably aware, Psalm 119 stands in a unique position, really, in the entire Bible. It is certainly the longest psalm. It's also the longest chapter in the Bible. It also stands roughly in the middle of the Bible. And it's entirely about the Bible, which is rather interesting. So the longest chapter, the longest psalm, right in the middle of God's Word, is entirely about God's Word. You'll notice if you look in your Bibles, you won't see any heading above the psalm or below where it actually says Psalm 119. You won't see any heading there that says who the author is or what the occasion was for the writing of it. Some of our psalms do tell us who the author is, a psalm of David, a psalm of the sons of Korah, etc. But we don't know who wrote this psalm. There are certainly some opinions and interesting theories, and we're not going to take the time to get into that. So because we don't know any external details about the psalm, it behooves us to take a moment to look into the psalm itself for insight about its meaning and message. Now the structure of the psalm in your English Bible has somewhat been retained. You'll see it there that it works through the various letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, etc. What you might not realize if you're just looking at your English Bible is that in the original Hebrew, this psalm was one long acrostic. That means that every single line began with the Hebrew letter that begins that stanza. So you see that over each stanza, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, etc. And those Hebrew letters actually were the first letter used in that line. Some have attempted to reconstruct this psalm in English to keep that the case. Spurgeon actually translated this psalm on his own and did that. If you're interested, you can look that up. But a cursory reading of the psalm, as if that were possible, a cursory reading of the psalm quickly reveals that there is one overarching theme, the Word of God. As Spurgeon said in his devotional commentary, thank you, brother, quote, "Its expressions are many as the waves, but its testimony is one as the sea." Oh, that was just a beautiful image. Its expressions are as many as the waves, but its testimony is one as the sea. Now, a casual reading of this psalm might leave the impression that the writer had a great deal to say, but wasn't exactly sure how to say it. And so in his attempt to speak about God's Word, he repeats himself often. If you just sat down and read that, you could come away with that impression that there's a lot of repetition in here. However, that's not actually the case. Listen once more to Spurgeon. Quote, "This psalm deals all along with one subject only. But although it consists of a considerable number of verses, some of which are very similar to others, yet throughout its 176 stanzas, the self-same thought is not repeated. There is always a shade of difference, even when the color of the thought appears to be the same. Some have said that there is, in it, an absence of variety, but that is merely the observation of those who have not studied it. I have weighed each word and looked at each syllable with lengthened meditation." You better believe it, if he translated this entire thing from the Hebrew, he's not kidding or exaggerating. He goes on, "And I bear witness that this sacred song has no unnecessary repetition in it, but is charmingly varied from beginning to end." And that variety and uniqueness of these verses is perhaps no better illustrated than in the life and ministry of the Puritan Thomas Manton, who preached 190 sermons on Psalm 119. You can still find it. It's actually available for free online, and it's been recently reprinted. 190 sermons on Psalm 119. That's roughly three times a week. For a little over a year, Manton preached through this. More recently, Jesse Johnson, pastor of Emmanuel Bible Church in Springfield, Virginia, preached 22 sermons on it, one for each stanza. If you get Dr. MacArthur's emails, the Grace to You blog, you'll notice that recently those have been actually penned by none other than this man, Jesse Johnson. So he preached through the entirety of the psalm, but he did it in 22 sermons as opposed to 190. And I found his explanation, his summary, to be perhaps the most concise and helpful that I came across. Like Spurgeon, Johnson defends the unity of the psalm. He doesn't try to say that he addresses all these different things, but rather there is a unity to this psalm, and that is God's Word. But Johnson also recognizes that because of the magnitude of this psalm, we can pretty quickly lose the forest for the trees, right? As you get into this, you get about a third, two-thirds of the way through, you can tell that there's still some type of overarching theme, but you can't really make out what is the entire purpose of this psalm. It's just so long. And so his summary is very helpful. It's very helpful. He says that this psalm isn't just about God's Word. Rather, he says, quote, "It is masterfully crafted to guide the reader in a progression through the believer's life. It covers all you need to know about leading a godly life from A to Z, or Aleph to Tav, as it were. And it does so in order." So he has an article that he's written that abbreviates this. I've further abbreviated it because we simply don't have time to read the entire article. But listen to this. And my goal here is for you to gain a little bit more of an understanding about the overall unity from start to finish, not just the overarching theme, but the unity from start to finish. I don't expect you to remember all of this, but just want to whet your appetite for what we're about to hear. So if you've got your Bible, maybe now would be a great time to open to Psalm 119 and just kind of flip through as we work through each one of these stanzas. Aleph is the foundational principle to Christian living. Happiness comes from holiness. Bet shows that sanctification produces satisfaction. Gimel teaches that believers are pilgrims. Dalit states that the life of pilgrim is marked by trials. Hay is a truism. The result of those trials is that you are what you love. Vav serves as a recap and shows the progression of a believer's life. Faith leads to trust, trust to perseverance, perseverance to trials, trials become trials to holiness. Zayin then reminds us that while all of that is true, that doesn't make it easy. Our lives will be marked by difficulty. Het is written in light of that tension and resolves that knowing the dangers and difficulties, the true believer vows to endure. Tait, in turn, teaches that endurance is only possible because God pursues His own children. The elect will not get away from the path of righteousness because God is the hound of heaven. Yod shows that we were made to obey. Kaf shows not all trials come because of the world. Sometimes God chooses to afflict His children in order to sanctify them. Lamed answers Kaf by proving that God will save even though He strikes. Mem responds to this reality by declaring that true wisdom develops from God's Word and God's ways. Nun answers this basic question: how can a wise person stay on God's path in a world that is so hostile to believers? Answer: His Word is a light for our feet, our GPS that will bring us home. Samak teaches us that while God's Word may guide believers, God's judgment certainly awaits those who do not come to the light. Ayin teaches, if you are right in the light, you are a slave to God, a slave to holiness, and a slave to His Word. Pei then shows how God uses His slaves. We are His warriors, and sanctification is our battlefield. Sadeh illustrates the battle lines. God is righteous, and everyone else is on the other side. Kaf shows that in this battle, we must rely on prayer. Resh states that God will always respond to those who pray in faith, and he will save those who cry to him. Shin is then a picture of what those who are rescued look like. They love God's word and hate God's enemies. Tov closes out the psalm and provides an eternal imagery of the rescued believer as a sheep in need of a shepherd. Even after going through the believer's life from A to Z, we are still in our position as sheep, totally dependent on God's word. I thought that's just an excellent overview of this and kind of leads you from point A to point Z, as it were. And again, I don't expect you to remember all of that. But remember that our purpose in doing this today is not just a mere exercise in congregational perseverance. That's what was said in the email. We don't want to just see, you know, can you pay attention to the reading of God's word for a lengthy period of time. Rather, we want this time to be a time of delighting in God's word, right? Even as the psalmist does, and giving praise to him for his word. So let's hear one more time from Spurgeon, who said this, quote, "I do not believe that any subject other than a heavenly one would have allowed of such a psalm being written upon it. For the themes of this world are narrow and shallow. All human books grow stale after a time, but with the word of God, the desire to study it increases. While the more you know of it, the less you think you know. The book grows upon you. As you dive into its depths, you have a fuller perception of the infinity which remains unexplored." Amen. So what an excellent passage of Scripture to call our attention to focus upon this morning. So that's by way of introduction. Sterling's now going to come, and he's got a few remarks to make about kind of the how. So that's the why, and now we're going to hear about the how.
Well, good morning. We have a grand opportunity to eliminate the foolishness of preaching today, and that the exposition of the word is untimely in this particular case. So while we focus on specifically on the written word of God, we have a couple of different ways for you to be able to accommodate and enjoy the reading of Psalm 119. Number one, the elders of Shepherd's Fellowship at our inception chose the New American Standard Updated Version 1995 as the standard for the pulpit. So we commonly read, not exclusively, but commonly read from the New American Standard Updated. So if you do not carry that or read that regularly, you have the opportunity to do so in the what we call the pew Bibles. I guess they're the back of the chair Bibles, more accurately. It's the dark copy that's in front of you. I know a number of you utilize a different translation. It will help for you today to read through with the reader, and it will provide you the opportunity to read not only at the pace, but to be able to go back or to go forward and to be able to enjoy this time in the Word of God. So while this is not a usual discipline, it is the focus. It is the focus of the church. The written Word of God is the focus of the church. The foolishness of preaching provides us with insight and research that's proclaimed by faithful elders, and that certainly is a benefit. So also, there's Pastor Jeff has prepared some media. Are you guys prepared to do so? That media also will provide you with an opportunity to focus on the written word in the new NAS 95 edition. Husbands and wives who are going to read, if you would come up together so that you can not necessarily read together, but husbands, if you remain with your wife while she reads, that's the most appropriate way for you to conduct your family reading. Anything else?
Come up. Number four, it's your turn.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We hadn't discussed that, but there's one other thing that we're going to do this morning. We're going to eliminate all of the pauses in the reading and to produce a single audio. That's why we'd like for you to read from one specific translation today, English translation. So in order to accommodate that, it's going to take us some time, and we'll probably end up with the full time slot used. So to accommodate that, if a husband and wife will come, or the next reader will come, right as soon as the last verse in the previous segments being read, if you'll just come up and you can stand here. We're just going to ignore the people movement around here so that we can accommodate that reading. Is there anything else? It's a good suggestion. Ma'am?
The one Bible is going to be up there for everyone.
Yes. Well, you don't necessarily need to use... I'm going to leave my text up here. It has slightly larger words. It also has long sentences, and the text is not broken up so much, so it's a little easier to read from. Oh, Deacon Minute?
Well, silly me, I thought we might read James today, but we're going to skip James, but I took a verse from that anyway. So, as I was reading James chapter 5, at the very end of that chapter, James says that if one of the brethren wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back to it, then it will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. You see, Brother James was worried about wandering from this word that we're going to read today. And then as I looked at today's reading, Psalm 119, I found it similar to James's statement, because the psalmist is obsessed with the word, and James was obsessed with someone not wandering from the word. And the psalmist is obsessed, and as he might say, with the word or the law or commandments or any other seven words that he uses to describe the word. So can you be obsessed with God's word? Well, that's good. Good. I'll tell you what the psalmist said there. He said he's blessed for keeping God's laws. He wants his ways directed by the Lord, by the word. He wants God to keep him from wandering. That's James's word. He wants God to keep him from wandering from this law. He says he rejoices in keeping this law just as much as if he had all riches. He wants God to give him more understanding so that he can keep the word even more. And some nights he can't sleep. Or either he's making himself stay awake just to meditate on the word. Probably a little of both. And as we read on, he'll even say it's good for him to be afflicted because it causes him to keep the word better. And then he even says the wicked have waited to destroy him, but he'll just consider God's law. Well, what in the world's wrong with this man? Somebody's wanting to destroy him, and he's just going to meditate on this word. That's right. That's right. He's smart. And as the King James says, I would to God that I would be more like this man who wrote this psalm. And as you listen today, you'll see just how important this word is to this person, knowing that all Scripture is inspired by God and is given to us for our benefit, and it contains everything we need. And so, would to God that we would all be more like this man. Thank you. I believe Jeremy's going to pray with us now.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we'll have in your word together as a congregation, as brothers and sisters that have come together to meet and to proclaim that your word is truth, that it is what we build our lives on. It is our life. For believers that trust in you, and you have called them and you have shown them their weaknesses, their sin, their fallen nature, that we could never please you, that we could never make ourselves look as if we could be accepted by you. Thankful that you have shown us those things, that you have revealed to us in your word, these things about who we are. and also, more importantly, that you have given a Savior in Christ, that you have used Him to take our sins away, that He was nailed to a cross, that He took the punishment and the wrath that was due us. We thank You for that and ask that You would keep that in our minds as we learn today more about Your Word, and as we've heard already about the psalmist, concerned that we focus on that Word. Remind us that we would know nothing of sin, of salvation, of Your grace and Your mercy without Your Word. We are thankful that You've given it to us. We are thankful that we're here to be able to read it together, to consider the years and all the times that have passed since it's been written, that it's been preserved, that it's in our language, that we have way more copies than many other places in the world have, many of them not even being used, especially in, sadly, in this area of the country probably. So we just ask that You would help us to think about these things and how to cherish Your Word even more, and to just consider what You've given us, and to be thankful, and to realize that apart from You, we would be absolutely hopeless without it. Help us remember those things today. Be with those who are not here, that may be sick or need healing, that may be out of town and traveling. We're glad to see Ken here today. I'm thankful that You have given him some relief enough to be here today. I thank You for Sue letting us know that how to pray for him specifically. We just thank You for all these things that You do for us, and we thank You for Christ most of all. And we just ask that You would help us to think about all the blessings that You've given us in Your Word and this psalm as we read it, and to be thankful for our elders, for our deacons, for each and every brother and sister here, that we would just consider the wealth and the blessings, and spiritually and materially, all the things that You've given us, and to be grateful and to have thankful hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now if you'll turn to hymn 256.
One other thing that we forgot to mention was, it went out in the email, so hopefully you saw it, but and that was, for the sake of the recording and for time, we ask that we not have any commentary from our readers. We often don't mind that at all when our regular readers get up to read, if they say a few words about their text, but we've asked that you don't do that today. All right, so hymn number 256, Break Thou the Bread of Life. As I announced last Sunday, our music for this morning is going to correspond with the theme of Psalm 119, rather than continuing to build up to the resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday. Our first hymn this morning is Break Thou the Bread of Life. You see it there in your hymnal. If you look to the top left, you see it was written by a woman named Mary Lothbury in 1877. And she originally composed this hymn to be sung before meetings at a Bible conference center in upstate New York. And to that end, you'll notice as we sing it that the message of this hymn is not intended to be deeply theological necessarily, but rather functions as a simple prayer for illumination before coming to the Word. And I thought that would be eminently appropriate for us to consider before we begin our reading, because we recognize that we need illuminating grace from God if we're going to understand His Word. Right? The New Testament tells us that several times. Gives us examples of it, in particular with the scribes and the Pharisees, who were exposed to God's Word, but had never been exposed to God in His Word. And Jesus said that much in John 5:39, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about Me." But they had completely missed that. Paul also recognized that truth in 1 Corinthians 2:14, when he says that the natural man does not accept spiritual things because they're spiritually discerned. So we need God's illuminating grace if we are going to rightly understand His Word. Now that is the focus of this hymn and was the psalmist's prayer in Psalm 119, verse 27, when he says, "Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders." So stand as you're able, and we will sing, "Break Thou the Bread of Life," almost as a prayer that the Lord would indeed grant to us illumination.
A congregational reading, Psalm 119, Meditations and Prayers Relating to the Law of God. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word.
Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinance at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors.
My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart.
Teach me, O Lord, the ways of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to you, to your testimonies, and not to your dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinance are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness.
May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of your truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and I shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate in your statutes. Now, if you'll take out your blue Trinity hymnal and turn to page 265, we'll do How Precious is the Book Divine.
Our second hymn this morning is by John Fawcett. It was written, as you can see there on your page, in 1782. And Fawcett was converted, actually, under the ministry of George Whitefield. He was later ordained as a Baptist minister, and in 1772, he was actually appointed to replace the famous London pastor, Dr. John Gill. Actually, at the very last second, though, he declined the invitation and decided to remain with his flock at Waynesgate. This hymn, as you see, is based on Psalm 119:105. Its theme is on the preciousness of God's Word, as it is no ordinary word. I think already by this point in our reading, you've picked up on that fact, right? This is no ordinary word. The Word is precious to us, not for its poetic value, not for its historical context or content, not because of its clear morality or its tight logic. Rather, the Word is precious to us because of its origin, its source. It comes by inspiration from God Himself and reveals to us darkened sinners the light of life. And because of that, it is useful in all other things as well, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16. Amen. You may be seated.
Verse 49. Remember the word of your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinance from old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrim. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts.
The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes.
You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have purged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precept. Their heart was covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statute. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces.
Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me, according to your word and to your servant. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed.
My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word, while I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All of your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth.
All right. Well, we've just made an executive decision to skip our break since we're moving along much quicker than I thought we might. All right. So take out your hymnal and turn now to hymn number 80. Hymn number 80. Our third hymn this morning, as you've noticed, I tried to give you a little bit of historical background before we sing. Our third hymn is actually written anonymously. You can see on the top left of your page there, it's simply ascribed to someone who went by the initial K and the hymnal in which it originally appeared. So our attention is immediately off the man and onto the content. And this wonderful hymn is a reminder to the believer of the assurance and security that we have in God's Word and because of God's Word. The first verse introduces us to that theme and provides the framework for the rest of the hymn. The rest of the hymn continues and picks up on themes of God's watch care and provision for his people from texts such as Isaiah 41:10, 43:2, Hebrews 13:5, and Deuteronomy 31:6. However, the hymn doesn't merely celebrate the written word, but it also celebrates the word incarnate, the pinnacle of God's self-revelation, the word made flesh, Jesus, the Messiah. Right? He is our ultimate source of assurance and hope. He, the final word from God, as Hebrews 1:1-2 tells us.
Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad.
Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Oh, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end.
I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me that I may be safe, that I have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments.
I have done just and righteousness. Do not leave me to oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. Now, if you'll take out your hymnal to 267, A Word of God Incarnate.
Our fourth hymn this morning was written by William Waltham Howell. He was an Anglican minister, and it was composed in 1867. And when this hymn was originally published, Howe attached to it the subheading of the text of Proverbs 6:23. So just like we put text at the above every superscription over our hymns, Howe actually attached a different text than the one that is here. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life." So the message of this hymn, as you'll see, intertwines praise for Christ as the incarnate Word and light of the world with the written Word as our access to this light. And that's important because Christ, who himself is the light of the world and gives the light of life, John 8:12, is only discovered, that is to say, Christ is only discovered and rightly understood in the Scriptures, which are also described as the light. Psalm 119, 105, and 130. And so we pray for illumination, that we might see Christ in his word and be lights ourselves to the dark world around us. Matthew 5:16.
Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water, because they do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness, and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me, because my adversaries have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised,
Yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live.
I cried with all my heart, "Answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes." I cried to you, "Save me, and I shall keep your testimonies." I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever.
Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting.
Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We end now with a new song, but one that shouldn't be very difficult at all for you to pick up. It's called the Gospel Doxology.
If it's not up there, yep,
it's up there. I chose this hymn to close our time because I believe it so perfectly captures the revelation and response that Psalm 119 gives to us. In the first verse, you see, we are reminded that we do not live up to the law of God, which the psalmist has just praised for 176 verses, right? We recognize that we fall so very short of his desire, of his longing, and his love for the world. God's word exposes our great need, does it not? But we're not left without hope. So the second verse calls to our mind the fact that though we don't live up to God's perfect law, and though we don't delight in it, or in him the way we ought, there is one who has perfectly obeyed on our behalf, and who has been offered as a substitutionary sacrifice to take away our sin and reconcile us to God. That's our second verse. And then the third and final verse, which is the one that is so familiar to all of you, allows us to give praise to God for the blessings we receive in Christ and in all of His mercies toward us. And that's how we ought to end our time today, is it not? We recognize that we fall so far short of God's standard, but we give Him all the praise and glory and thanksgiving and honor and whatever adjective you want because of Christ, who took our place and did what we could never do in order that we might dwell with Him forever. So stand as you're able. We're going to sing this a cappella. Generally, we don't do things off of the overhead, but it would have been too much to add it to your notebooks. Your perfect law exposes me.
Of the reading of Psalm 119, we are through with our corporate worship. Any comments, testimonies, or questions? Gregor?
I like doing this Bible reading thing. We should do this more often.
Well, you know what? We could probably do that with when there's a reasonable book to do it in Well, obviously, that's why we don't do some really long things. We'll talk. The elders will talk about that. That we could do. You know, it's pretty easy for us to. We could do that.
We did the reading of John in its entirety before we did it, and I can't recall if we did Mark.
Boy, I don't remember. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah. Hebrews, Pastor Jeff, by the way, just for you to know what's coming up, Pastor Jeff's going to begin the book of Hebrews once he has completed the prophets, and then there is a series, Daylight Savings Time, isn't it a wonderful thing? Yeah, you know what? Because this is such a change today, the children were reasonably amused because of the break, right? Yeah. So now you get somebody up here that's talking, and it's the same old thing, and they just take off into space. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, that's right, the schedule. Pastor Jeff has a couple of more of the Old Testament prophets, and then we would like to take a pause, and Pastor Jeff will do a 5-message series on body life for the edification of the saints here at Shepherd's Fellowship, and then obviously for the benefit of those who listen. That'll probably be late June, July, somewhere in that area. So then we'll Pastor Jeff's going to start on Hebrews. I wonder who's going to finish for John or Hebrews first. Yeah, it'll be a long time. But that would be a really good thing to do with Hebrews. Now, that's going to take a little bit of discipline, and maybe we'd do that over a couple of different services.
We could probably do it in one. It takes about an hour to read aloud.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll talk about that and see what we can do. Greg, I think that's, you know what, congregational reading, you know, as long as we do that respectfully, and I mean with respect, so that people understand that there's propriety here and, you know, et cetera. Husbands and wives reading, et cetera. So, was there something else? Ray, any other comments or questions?
Lord, for such a great privilege.
Yep.
I mean, seriously.
Yep.
Our brothers across seas are getting their heads cut off for this stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So we're going to mix this thing down, whatever the proper sound language is, and then produce that so that you can send it to friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, and et cetera. Clarice?
I have a question about that. I'm going to call this Psalm 119. What do we want to entitle?
A congregational reading.
Okay. And are we putting in music, or are we leaving the music out?
Yeah, that.
How? Okay.
Yeah. But one thing I think is good, Pastor Jeff did wonderful work in preparation, mm-hmm. and for these hymns, the hymnody probably should be added. We can put it in two different, well, we can come up with some way for not to have the moaning from the front row here and the moaning from over there. So. Well, it's worse down here, Pastor Jeff, I can tell you that. Others?
I agree with what Ray said about the privilege of us being able to do that, but not only as Americans and living in a country where we have religious freedom, but for our elders to be willing to allow the congregation to participate in the worship service. Some churches don't even share the pulpit.
Good.
We don't allow you to participate. You allow us to lead.
Yeah, the
foolishness
of preaching.
We are just part of you guys.
Right. That's right.
We are not over shepherds, we are under shepherds, right? So thank you for that great privilege.
Yep, good. Don't go anywhere. Just in case. That just gives two targets. Other comments, questions?
See, now they're scared of me.
Yeah, there's two of them up there. Any others?
At least one pastor always has to have a beard.
Well, I can have one. Playoffs are coming. Allison?
I think I can speak for everybody. Thank you to everyone for preparing and reading ahead of time. Thank you for you guys organizing this, because it is such a blessing, not only to all of us, but for people, you know, they've said it before that this will bless other people too, but having the Word of God spoken into our lives and read is something that we all need. So thank you, Jeff and Sterling, for the organization, and everybody else for preparing.
Any others?
Put your bread in the back.
Any others? All right, Pastor Jeff, why don't you pray for us and then we'll dismiss.
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to place ourselves under your word so conspicuously. Lord, we confess that we are often not like the psalmist. We are often cool and lighthearted towards your word. And God, we pray that by your Spirit, and even through this reading and the time we've spent together today, that you would fan into flames the desire of our heart for your word and for the word incarnate, your son Jesus. May he be much upon our mind, our hearts, and our mouths as we go from here. In his name we pray. Amen.